Hey everyone, check out this new film on Amazon Prime called Eight Remains. It's free to all Prime members.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Interview. Today we have like a guest that was brave enough to come on in episode 2 or episode 3. I want to thank him for coming back. I guess I didn't scare him away that long ago. David Salcedo's back with his new film, Lady Belladonna, Tales from the Inferno, which I guess is part 2 to the first one. But there's no part 2 here, so please go out and check out part 1. We're going to find out where it was. They pulled it from Amazon Prime, which doesn't make anybody here happy. So we're going to find a new home for it, and by the end of the interview, I'm sure he's going to tell us where he's going to go. We hope.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that. And thank you for having me again.
Oh, I'm so excited. And I want everybody to know I'm very happy he's got a beard now, so he's really turning me on. I'm quite happy he's got a beard. So first of all, we just got to start. How have you been? Everything good?
Everything's great, yeah. So, got some good stuff going on.
Yeah, you seem that you brought back us part 2. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I noticed some Lady Belladonna came back.
She did. And so did Addie.
And so did Addie.
You saw it, didn't you? You saw the... I sent you a link?
Yes, I watched it.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, I did watch it. So I want to start off something I don't think we ever discussed in your first one. Why Nazis?
Wow. Starting off... Okay. You know what? It wasn't so much about Nazis as it was about giving the lady a private secretary, basically her assistant, who would be the most improbable. And actually, we went through a series of choices. I thought Rasputin, but, you know, he wasn't – I wanted somebody with a lot of charisma. And, you know, the H guy had it.
Oh, he does have charisma.
Yeah.
I like how he kowtows to her. I really do enjoy that scenes that you've set up, that Addie kowtows.
Let me tell you something. Some of my favorite scenes are the ones that I write with the lady and Addie.
Oh, absolutely.
I love them together.
And I like how you have a very different production value in this one. So did you think that was a needed option?
Well, you know, we're always trying to step up our game, but honestly, what happened was in the 2 years between the time when we shot the first one and the time when we shot the second one, we did a lot more networking and we found more people. We had a fantastic VFX artist, Carlos Tejeda. He came to work for PRC Productions, which is the production company that produced it, and one of his loves is animation. So he had been showing me a lot of the animations he was doing, and we talked about the possibility of doing a revival of Lady Belladonna. Now, actually, we did in the meantime. I think a year before we did a short film called Fall Guy, which really consisted of two actors and a desk, and he created the entire environment around them. He created the whole office where it all took place, and it was film noir, very 1940s. And he did such an amazing job that it was sort of like, how can we work this? So he and I talked about it for a few months, and we came up with this. Basically, I let him create hell for me. Tell him, this is basically what I want as a backdrop. You create it. You know, I want, like, let's imagine that we're in a cave and the huge cave opening is looking out into hell. Go. And he came up with sketches, and he came up with some ideas. He's so quick. He's so quick when he's animating that he came up with some stuff that we used some of it we didn't, some of it we may use later. But that automatically upped the production value. Then also, too, we came into contact with a composer who lives in El Paso, which is just 45 miles away. And he lives in El Paso, but he studied in Europe. He has conducted orchestras all over the world, and he's very prolific. And he loves doing compositions for movies and video games, mostly video games. He makes his money that way, but he loves doing films. And so we talked to him. I thought there's no way we're going to be able to afford him. But we let him watch the rough cut, and he loved it so much that he gave us a really cut rate. So between those two guys, production value went way up.
Well, that's awesome news then.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you saw the first one, right?
I did.
It had a very 80s late night TV vibe. You know, it had the sets that were, you know, kind of rickety, and it was kind of cramped, and, you know, the production value was okay. It wasn't great. But given the opportunity to really do it again, and we were also in a new studio. I hadn't thought about that. When we did the first one, we had to rent a studio, and it was a photography studio. It was not as big as we thought it was going to be. But in the meantime, between the two films, we moved into Piercy Productions moved into a new studio, and we have a giant green screen. So we were able to build sets against the green screen that Carlos could then use as a canvas. And so, yeah, all that ups the value.
So let me ask my main question before I forget. Why do you do an anthology series and not just do a straight film? Because you want Lady Belladonna to just be a late night host still?
Wow. You know, you're not the first person to ask that question, and I usually avoid it, but let's see what I can come up with here. Initially the idea was, yes, I wanted her to be like a late night host. I am sort of a partner at PRC Productions. We started a distribution arm called Borderlands Media. And, you know, it was to not only to get the films out that PRC Productions was doing, but also I know a lot of filmmakers who have a hard time getting distributed. Doing ultra low budget indie films is hard. Getting them distributed is even harder. So I had all these people that were asking me about short films. You know, can you help us get our short films out? And I thought, well, what's the best way to do that? So we came up with the concept of the anthology. Now, when the second one came around, we had already built the premise, and so we had a contest, and we got in a whole bunch of movies, and so we kind of expanded it a little bit. Interestingly enough, in all the reviews that we've gotten, the biggest complaint is the short films. Apparently they don't live up to the camp or something. So now we actually are talking about the possibility of expanding it. I just don't know that I could give her enough to do. I mean, you know, she breaks the fourth wall, and I don't see very many films that were in that works very well. You know, I mean, she's not an action figure. She's not going to be out there running around and doing things. She basically presents films. It's sort of like Elvira is great as a late night host, but the movies were a little hard to swallow, you know, because they were having to expand on something that was really kind of two dimensional. Does that make sense?
It does. I totally, but I like your answer. Now, I want to go in. How did you run a contest? That's interesting.
Actually, through Film Freeway. I didn't even know that was possible, but apparently it is. Through Film Freeway, which is what the film festivals use to get films for their festivals. And last year, I was one of the founders of a new film festival here in the Southwest. And so I learned all this stuff about how Film Freeway works, and found out that you can do contests. And so I thought, why not? So we did a contest, and we got stuff in that was, some of it was really good and some of it was really bad, but you know, it was an interesting way to do it. I wouldn't do it again, but yeah, it's an experiment. Can you tell that this is all experimental? Everything I do is experimental.
But you're enjoying yourself. Did you not want Absolutely. It to be fun? Like, okay, let's go back to your thing. So, how did you decide what films would work and what films wouldn't work?
Honestly, I was trying to find the ones that had at least a little bit of camp value that might, you know, segue in. One of the biggest complaints about the first one was that the films were so... they were the antithesis of camp. And I thought, well, okay. But the thing is, we had some really great choices. And in the end, they didn't want to sign the contract to, you know, be in this anthology, because it means being tied up for a while. And, you know, they had other avenues. Now, when you're going through a system like Film Freeway, these are people who normally send their stuff out to film festivals anyway. So the possibility that it would sort of end that run, I think, left a few people cold. Unfortunately, it was all the people who did really fun camp films. I can't really blame them. I mean, you know, some of them have gone on to win a lot of prizes. So my first group of choices all fell through. Nice. And so I had to scramble for my next group.
Well, I would argue your first film, I put Crazy Junker, I don't remember the name of the film, that I thought that was very campy. That one worked perfectly.
I thought so too. And yet that's the one that most people say, yeah, it even starts off, it's so grim. And well, I didn't think it was grim. I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of serious, but I mean, if you really think about it, it's not serious at all. It's kind of goofy.
I thought it was kind of goofy. I would argue Seven Doors is not camp, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But I thought it suit what you were going for.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought it fit your structure.
I did too.
So if people are looking at this film for camp, I don't see where they're getting that. Because, I mean, you're providing that with the Lady Belladonna character. There's your camp.
Yes, exactly.
And she's telling you, hey, these films you need to watch. And she's showing you a film. She's not saying there can't be.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But I guess they're feeling – now, there's a local writer here. He writes for the newspaper, and he was probably the most forthcoming. What he told me was he would just start getting into these characters, and then the films – and he would sort of lose the thread. And then when it came back, it would take him a few minutes to catch up, and because those scenes are so short, he felt like he was missing something. I don't know. I don't know that it would be much different if they were really super camp shorts. I mean, think about it. If they were, would that kind of, you know, draw attention away from the lady? I'm not really sure. But I will tell you this. There are some filmmakers here who are very interested. They love the series, and they want to do the films in between. They have some ideas. They want to do something that they feel would really work with the lady. And I mean, they came forward and told us this, and they've done some really great stuff. So I'm intrigued. I'm really intrigued. We'll see if anything comes of it, but they were very interested.
I guess my question is are you going to let the Lady Belladonna character go into their shorts, or are these going to be shorts separate from the Lady Belladonna character?
No, they will be separate. I will keep them separate.
Have you been asked to use the Lady Belladonna character then in something?
Yes. Yeah, I have had people ask. And it's still early on, even though this has been going on for years. I still feel like there's a lot to explore yet without locking her into something else. And if she appears as anything other than a late night host, I think that sort of locks her in. That becomes part of her mythology, and I'm still working on that.
I accept that as an answer.
Good. I'm glad.
I think that's what I totally agree with you. And I also agree with the critic. I do find that, I mean, the shorts are shorts, though. That's the problem. Like, yeah. The Seven Doors, I wanted more to. I really wanted more to that one, but I knew it was a short. So I'm like, okay, it's over. I'm like, I really enjoyed that, but I'm going to let it go.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one that everybody really wanted more of was Hexit Strategy, because it's, what, 3 minutes long?
Yes.
It's over. And... not much I could do about that. That was the way it came.
That's not your fault. So let's go back to your film. How did you decide how you're going to direct Lady Belladonna? How are you going to decide to turn the people into the frogs? Like, just basic stuff like that. Where does that come from?
The weird mixed master of my mind. when I sit down to write this stuff, it usually starts off as conversations between the lady and Addie.
Yes, I noticed that. You do set that up continuously. Every time you have a split, you set that up again.
Yeah, and I need an arc. And because in the first one, we had Cupid.
I miss Cupid.
In one scene, we wanted somebody else to be a guest, and I'm such a huge fan of Ed Wood. I thought, how fun would it be to put him in this movie? Especially if we could go the full camp. I mean, we're doing camp, right?
100%.
So, you know, the Angora sweater and the bullet bra and the bird, that was all. Once I hit on that, I knew exactly where I was going with it. And again, Carlos, we were sitting down talking, and I said, you know, I really want to do something fun with these characters. I want her to it was probably just like that too. I want her to turn them into frogs or something. And he said, I can do that.
Huh.
And so he started working on these animated frogs that really, before I'd even written that part, and he showed me what they looked like. And I said, that's it. Okay. We're doing that. We're going to do the frogs. That is how it happened.
All good. I also was surprised you had nudity in this film.
That was probably because the executive producer, the guy who runs PRC Productions, is a huge fan of nudity, mostly gratuitous. And I told him, well, okay, two of the shorts that I really wanted had nudity. And then they dropped out. And he was already had his mind set on the fact that, oh, there's going to be nudity in this one. And then there wasn't. And, you know, it just sort of happened. But I told him, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it in a way that is non-gratuitous, in that the actress is just going to act like it's like there's nothing to it. It's just like, and it's actually written in, you know, when she says, you know, why would I want to hide these?
Yes. She seemed to play it. So let's go back to that. How did you find an actress who was doing it? Did you just put an ad in the paper saying, this is what I'm looking for? Or how does that work?
I know a lot of filmmakers. And so I just put the word out that I was looking for an actress that would be willing to. And actually, she is an actress from Mexico. She drove up for that. She drove up from Juarez. And we had to dub her voice because she had such a strong accent that you couldn't really understand what she was saying. But boy, she was a champ. She gave it her all.
And how long does it take you to put this together, the whole package, from beginning to end, CGI, sound, everything, when you're ready to go to bring it to your film festival?
Well, let's see. I can actually tell you. We started the contest in February of last year. It ran for 3 months. We shot at the end of May, 2 days. It then went into production, post-production, and all of the effects were done by Carlos. He had them all done by August. Then it went to our composer. He had it all done by the end of September, and we premiered it October 5th.
Now, when you do a premiere, do you do like a big theater premiere, or do you just do a small premiere? How does that work?
No, we did. We have a historic theater here in town. It's one of the oldest in the area. Actually, I think it's they tout themselves as the only remaining two-story Adobe theater in the country, and it has it's beautiful. And they allow us to come in there, you know, at a fraction of the price that they normally would to do our little premieres. And we do red carpet, and we drop the actors off at the head of the carpet, and they walk down, and we have paparazzi taking pictures, and we have radio personalities come out and do remote so they can interview them. And yeah, we try to make it as special as possible. We have little displays of some of the props, and we just make it a big night. And then after that, we have an after party next door at one of the restaurants, and we have champagne and the whole thing. So, you know, we make it this big deal. Only local people go, but, you know, we had – it's always a lot of fun. Nobody knows about it but us, but, you know, we record it, and then we release those videos on YouTube and, you know, put them on our website.
I think that's awesome. I did have to ask one question. I forgot. The people with the shorts, do they get compensated, or they say, nope, here you go, it's yours?
Oh, no. As part of the contest, that was the deal. The five winners would receive a cash prize.
Oh, okay.
So they got a cash prize. It wasn't a lot, but I mean, they, you know, it was a cash prize that they would have to sign a 5-year deal.
Okay.
And it was a 5-year deal that hung them up. So
after the 5 years, they get their film back, I guess is what I'm trying to say here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how does that affect you in the future? If you wanted to print DVDs in year 6, can you still print DVDs of this or no?
Yeah, basically what happens is that gives us 5 years to get it out there and do all the stuff that we're going to do. It'll still be out there, but the films go back to them. They can do whatever they want with them. So if they want to put them up for free on YouTube, that's fine, whatever they want to do. We've gotten our 5 years out of it. But we didn't want them putting it up somewhere for free before we released the film. Again, that was part of the problem with the contract, is that meant they had to stop.
Right.
Putting it out there. And that was problematic for some people. Understandable. It would have been for me too.
So do you do all your filming in New Mexico? Is that where your studio is? Or do you have another location?
It is. But the first one was actually filmed in El Paso.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you like your new home. Things are going well. Have you thought about producing other people's films besides your own?
I've been asked. I have produced a couple of shorts. Feature, I don't know, man. There's a lot of work that goes into features. And people keep asking me when I'm going to do a real feature film. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. Yeah, I'm telling you, we shot for 2 days to do the wrapper. But, you know, we were working on all the pre-production for 3 months beforehand, building all the sets and everything, basically for, you know, what turns out to be maybe 30 minutes worth of film. I was exhausted. I can't imagine being the director of a feature film and being out working with the same people every single day, you know, 6 days a week for 6 weeks, 12-hour days. Mm-mm. I don't think I could do it. I don't have that kind of patience.
I don't either, so there you go. I do have to ask, because I love to ask, how do you feed your crew?
How do we feed our crew? That's a good question. What did we feed them?
Or maybe you didn't.
Santorini.
No, we did. Did we order out?
It was Santorini.
Okay, yeah, we fed them well. We had it catered, let's just say.
Chicken.
It was like Greek food.
Sounds good.
One of the local restaurants catered it for us.
So
we tried it. I mean, we take care of our cast and crew. We don't, you know, we don't just feed them McDonald's.
Oh, I hope not.
It would be cheaper.
It would be, and I wouldn't eat it. But that's okay. I can't remember how you fundraised your first film. So how did you fundraise this film? Self-financed or Kickstarter, or how do you do this?
No, PRC Productions produced it, and they allotted us
X.
Yeah, $10,000.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. It's fine.
Do it.
I accept that.
You know what? Everywhere we posted it, IMDb, it's like $125,000. No, we made this thing for like $10,000, which I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of the fact, because if you look at the finished product, it looks a lot more expensive.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So your film, do you have a, so PCI Productions has produced it, so they must be distributing this somewhere. Are you going the film festival route? Are you going direct to VOD?
Well, actually, they are going to LA next week. Next week of the week after the 25th, they're going to be in LA. They already have some interest, and they're hoping to walk away with a distribution deal. I'm just hoping that we can get something that is international. I would really love to be able to get it into Europe and, you know, Asia, because I think that's where our audience really is.
I will have to agree with you. I definitely think you have that European kind of flavor film, I would argue.
Yeah, so if they can snag an international deal, I would be thrilled.
With this type of film, and I have seen it with other films similar to yours, they've gone the VHS route. They've made like 10 or 15 VHS movies. Have you ever looked at that as an option of your first one or second one?
We have. We've looked at a lot of different options. Actually, and we've learned a lot in the last 2 or 3 years. Roku is huge. Streaming is where it's at. I mean, let's face it. We still release DVDs, but people don't really buy DVDs anymore unless they're for a big blockbuster film where they get, you know, 6 discs and they have tons of extra features. But for little micro budget independent films, they're not going to buy your DVD. They just want to stream it. And so that's what I'm concentrating on. That's sort of my job, is to find places to put these movies. All of the movies. I am now officially running Borderlands Media. So, fun.
So how are they going to get the director's commentary track then? If I can't buy a DVD, it's going to be tough for me.
Well, that's what this is. This is the director's commentary right here.
Well, that's it for me, my question was. Unless I missed something, I think I did pretty good.
Yeah.
Did we ask you fun questions last time you were on, or no? I can't remember.
You know, I don't remember. I know that there was a lot of technical difficulties, and
yes, there was.
You were just trying to get the stuff down.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, now we're going to do fun questions. Everybody does them now, so you get to answer questions.
Cool. Hit me.
Your favorite horror film?
Ooh, my favorite horror film. Okay. There was a film that came out in the 70s with George C. Scott. It was a ghost story. What was it called? See, my brain just went blank.
I have not seen it. I can't help you on this one. I usually can, but that's what I haven't seen.
Well, let's see if it comes back to me. Oh, I just remember. Okay. It's the 70s, and the
Changeling.
It was called The Changeling.
Oh, shoot.
And the scene that's still in my mind is that red ball bouncing down the stairs. It's one of the creepiest things I've ever seen. And, you know, slasher films have never done much for me. I really like atmosphere. I mean, that thing is full of atmosphere. So The Changeling, it's from the 70s, and George C. Scott is the main actor.
Funny thing is, I do know the film. I've yet to see it for some odd reason. Oh, well, doesn't matter.
I highly recommend it.
I will. Favorite television talk show host?
You know, I don't watch television. For the most part, I don't even have cable, but I do really like Stephen Colbert. I really like him. I tend to watch his videos. I just like the rapport he has with people. I love his interviews, but, you know, honestly, if it had to be somebody who does interviews, it would have to be Graham Norton. He's my favorite.
Very good.
That guy knows how to ask a question.
He's better than me. I can't beat him.
Oh, man, he's better than everybody. I mean, come on. He's the only person I know who can continuously surprise the celebrities.
Yes, he does.
Ask them questions that, and you always see it in their face, like, I did not see that coming. He's good. He's good.
This one will be easier. Favorite food?
My favorite comfort food is popcorn.
Oh, wow.
I love popcorn. I'm popcorn bean.
Oh, there you go. I'd love to tell everybody where to find your film, but we can't because there's nowhere to find it yet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. We're working on it. Okay. Hopefully it'll be a lot bigger. But, okay, we have a website at Borderlands Media. It's called borderlandsmedia.com. And we are now streaming all of our films in our catalog, including all the short films that I've done. And even Lady Belladonna is there, the first one. Lady Belladonna's Nightshades is available there. The new movie will eventually make it there. But we're hoping that we can get, as I said, a bigger distribution deal. If that falls through, then that's probably where she'll end up. But, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we can get – I mean, we even asked Netflix if they're interested. They gave us a hard pass on the first one, but they're still kind of thinking about the second one. So we'll see.
That's good news.
It could be good news. That's it could also be a huge disappointment, but we'll see.
Hey, it's better than a hard no.
It is much better than a hard no.
Well, again, I want to thank you for coming back.
I love doing this.
I hope you had more fun than the first time when I was fumbling around. So this one was a little more smooth for you. But thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem at all. You know, I actually cut my teeth doing interviews 100 years ago. I have been a writer for over 30 years, and a lot of my favorite articles to write were interviews. And I reached a point fairly recently where I thought, you know, I've been asking questions for close to 30 years. I kind of enjoy other people asking the questions now. You know, I like it.
Thank you as always. I can't wait to see you again. Good night.
Yeah, right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thank you for listening. Could you please give us an iTunes review? And also, if you'd like to donate, please do so at our homepage.